With the attention on the political crisis in Egypt, don't miss what's roiling European markets. It's called Portugal.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Europe's financial crisis has flared anew today after Portugal's finance minister quit and the government there teetered on the edge of collapse. Interest rates on Portuguese government bonds approached 8% today. The BBC's Alison Roberts is in the capital city of Lisbon. Alison, good morning.
Good morning.
This is a country that has, what, been sweating through years of austerity, of budget cutting?
That's right. It's been almost exactly 2 years since the current right of centre government took office. With a mandate, it would have seemed, to implement the Eurozone bailout that had just been signed by its predecessor as a caretaker government. And for the first year or so, the public opinion seemed to be fairly receptive, or should I say perhaps resigned to the need to make very heavy sacrifices. But certainly in recent months, the mood has been becoming very weary, principally because all of those sacrifices didn't seem to be bringing any clear results. The economic forecasts seem to be worsening, not getting better. So that's really the backdrop behind the political crisis that we're now seeing.
And now Portugal has to contend with international investors who are leery of Portuguese government bonds, and interest rates are going up.
That's right. We've seen the stock market plunge today, about 7% the last time I looked. The yields on Portuguese government bonds have soared. So the market's clearly showing that they don't like this kind of uncertainty. The government hasn't yet fallen, but there's obviously a feeling that it's quite likely that it will fall quite soon. There is talk that there might be other resignations from within the government. And that's something that the markets also want to know, of course, whether this coalition government is going to continue or whether the government will collapse.
The BBC's Alison Roberts in Lisbon. Alison, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now let's do the numbers. Yep, stock markets around the world are in the dumps today, Egypt and Portugal in part. The FT 100 in London and the DAX in Germany are both down 1.6% right now. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped 2.5% after downbeat data about China's service sector. What is up? Some things you might not want. Up, oil, up 1.6% to more than $101 a barrel. Dow futures are down currently. In an increasingly fast-paced China, moms and dads are seeing less of their adult children. In America, we fix that with guilt. Keywords, you never call, you never write. But China's trying government policy. This week, China enacted a law requiring adult children to visit their aging parents or else face punishment. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz explains.
The new Chinese law mandates that adults should go home often to visit their parents so that their spiritual needs can be filled. It's essentially legislating a Chinese tradition that's become more difficult to practice as hundreds of millions of Chinese leave home for the city. Social critic and Tongji University professor Zhu Dake calls the law absurd.
What type of penalty will you get if you don't visit your parents? Will you go to prison for a couple of years? Then you'll visit your parents even less. This law is ridiculous.
Zhu says China's leaders need to make up their minds. On one hand, they're pushing rural Chinese to migrate hundreds of miles away to the cities. On the other, they're requiring the same people to return home and take care of their parents. Other critics suspect China's pension system is running low on money, and this law is an effort to pass the buck. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
Here we are just out of the gate on the second half of 2013, and when it comes to the stock market, the narrative sure has changed during the first half of the year. In the years climbing out of the Great Recession, regular investors were leery of buying stock, thrice burned, enduringly shy. But in the last 6 months, the S&P 500 index went up 13%. Marketplace contributor Alan Sloan is senior editor at large at Fortune magazine. He's worried when the hoi polloi, that is you and me, get too interested in an investment. Alan, good morning.
Good morning, David.
What do I have on my hands here? A contrarian, I believe, is your tribe.
I'm among the chiefs.
What's the matter? Too many headlines about the bulls returning to Wall Street's making you nervous?
Well, anytime everybody is doing what I'm doing, I begin to worry a little bit because U.S. retail investors, the people who buy mutual funds, are still buying U.S. stock funds, and I'm still buying stocks. So it's probably time to worry.
Well, if you think about it, you would write stories, I would cover stories in that long period after the 2008 financial collapse when many folks were too terrified to buy stocks. And they finally started to get into the market and you're thinking, what if it was too late they got back in the market?
Well, that's exactly right. From 2008 through 2012, when there was a ton of money to be made in stocks, I'm saying, well, it's hard to see how you can miss if you have a long time horizon. People are selling and selling and selling and selling. Then in January of this year, they start buying. And I'm saying, oh, my God, is this the end? It doesn't make me think I have to run to the exits. But it's a bad sign when retail mutual fund people are doing what you're doing. And I know this is elitist and I know it's snobbish and I know all of this, but it's to me survival.
Of course, in reflective moments about our stock holdings, the idea is if you can't stand to get hurt in the short or medium run, maybe you shouldn't be in stocks.
Well, that's exactly right. You can get hurt in the short run in stocks. You can also get hurt in the short run in bonds. If you want to buy a mutual fund, which is the logical thing for almost everybody to do, you have to have a time horizon. And you have to have a stomach that doesn't get upset anytime something moves up and down 1% or 2%.
Alan Sloan, Senior Editor at Large at Fortune Magazine. Alan, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
And Yelp has been playing with its database of restaurant reviews, constructing heat maps of some big cities. Where on the map does the word hipster show up the most? Yes, a big chunk of Brooklyn, New York, but not that much in Santa Monica, California. The map does get hotter for that in L.A.'s Silver Lake neighborhood. Portland, Oregon has enough red blobs marking the hipsters that the map looks like it has acne. Put in the word margarita, and you'd expect all of Austin to go red, but there are hot spots around the Warehouse District and from South Congress westward. A link to the heat maps at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.